A chief risk officer may help some agencies deal with budget uncertainty and high-profile program failures like healthcare.gov, according to the Office of Management and Budget. 2015 may be the year that OMB lays out a way to add the new CXO title to the federal workforce. Rafael Boris is senior advisor at A.T. Kearney and former undersecretary for management at the Homeland Security Department, and says agencies need to pay attention to OMB's plan for enterprise risk management. Rafael, this is something you've been passionate about since long before you were even at DHS. How would you like to see OMB at least consider this implementation plan, and what would you like to see it include? Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, Francis. Happy New Year to you and your listeners. This is, I think, a very important and potentially very exciting time for the federal government in this area of risk and risk management. Let me start with the first thing. I like what Dave Mader from OMB has said about this issue, where I think he recognizes the need for great flexibility among federal agencies. You know, no one size fits all. And I think that's very, very important because so many of our agencies are just so different and the risk profile is so different. And one other point at the outset I'd like to make, and I think I think Dave made this point, is I think he was sort of undecided necessarily that there should or should not be a chief risk officer. And I agree with that. I think that's the right way to think about this. This is not about just adding a C-level person to an organization, but really what I'd like to see them focus on, first of all, is make sure they understand they're doing it for the right reasons. What are the right drivers that are forcing the federal government now to begin to adopt an enterprise risk management model, A, and then B, what's going to be the framework they're going to use to be able to implement it?
You mentioned that every agency has a different risk profile or a different posture when it comes to risk. Are we at a position now, do agencies have enough data where they can really know where they are and understand where they fit onto that risk landscape?
No, I don't think most federal agencies are there in a comprehensive way, but agencies are beginning to get better. OMB has helped agencies over the last several years with a focus on certainly on performance, a lot of the things around IT and procurement. So agencies are in varying degrees of maturity in building those capabilities internally. But let me tell you, Francis, in the business world, on the commercial side, it's not typically different either. I contend that the drivers that force businesses, commercial entities, to undertake enterprise risk management programs are not that different, really, when you come down to it, than for most federal agencies. They're the sort of the typical macroeconomic issues, where there's a tremendous resource scarcity, and we know that in terms of budgets. Demographics and preferences are changing, and the disruptive effect of technology being one. There are all kinds of organizational impediments, the lack of a risk governance structure, limited or actually poor coordination of round capabilities. And then, of course, there's external factors. There's the changes that take place in Congress. There's the changes that take place in the commercial world around regulation that have an impact. So these are the same kinds of things that are driving commercial entities to adopt enterprise or business risk management programs.
You mentioned the approach that Dave is talking about taking at OMB. How do you build that in such a way that it becomes meaningful and useful at an agency level and isn't just another list of stuff that OMB is telling us we have to do, so I guess we have to do it?
Well, that's important. And I think Dave is sending sort of the right messages about let's be thoughtful about this. Let's make sure that we're doing it for the right reasons and the right fit. So, here at Kearney, when we take a look at sort of this progression of risk management, sort of that first stage is kind of, not quite where we are, but it's, I wouldn't say we have no focus on risk management in the federal government. I think we've made some progress and we've moved beyond from a no focus to what I would call a risk control focus. So, obvious risk exposure in areas or in place, like at Homeland Security, of course, there's a whole risk-based strategy around aviation security. Many agencies have begun a risk control focus, but these are decisions that are made oftentimes in silos, a component by component, or oftentimes they're centralized around the financial or the audit focus, and they're not really linking risk to outcomes and service, which I think is really where I would encourage OMB to push agencies to begin to link risk to outcomes and focus. And if you'd like, I can spend a moment on that.
Well, yeah, I'd like to draw on your experience at DHS, because you essentially did kind of a microcosm of that. Your claims to fame at DHS was pulling together a risk management vision for 20, however many components there are in that agency, where each of them had their own culture and each of them had their own ways of self-assessing where they were on the risk landscape, as I alluded to a couple of minutes ago, and all of that, and trying to pull that together in a one DHS concept. So what does that look like from a cultural perspective? How do you drive that in an organization maybe that isn't as diverse or isn't as diffused as DHS was, or maybe in an organization that is and just doesn't think that it is because it wasn't patched together 10 years ago the way DHS was?
I go with the latter, Francis. I think most agencies can benefit. In fact, all agencies can benefit from this approach. And in many ways, agencies, they may not be as diverse as DHS, but I would argue DHS is not as diverse as some people think it is. It's largely a law enforcement organization, and there is a lot more commonality than people, I think, normally subscribe to Department of Homeland Security. But if you look at the Department of Commerce, for example, which is also a very decentralized, distributed organization with varying service levels from NOAA or, from NIST. So what's really, the right place to focus on is linking risk to services and outcomes. And that's really a focus on mitigation and contingency plans, because what you want to do is reduce the impact of potential events. So you got to know what your risks are. You've got to have a focus on mitigation plans and contingency plans. What is the risk? What's the mitigation plan? And how am I going to manage the implementation of that mitigation plan to minimize the impact of that potential risk? What we did at DHS is we began to develop a portfolio management of risk. So that's where we started looking at risk across the different components to find similar risk, whether it be an acquisition or financial management or IT, et cetera. And then using a formal planning and measurement process, which that's what I created the organization PARM to do, to be able to institutionalize a planning and measurement focus with dedicated resources based on, and it's not totally mature, DHS yet, but they're building a qualitative analytical function to be able to help them manage that. But that's still not the optimum level. You really want to move beyond that, and this is going to be a multi-year event. You really want to be able to then focus on, you know, how do you begin to integrate your business planning and your investment strategy and link that to your risk analysis.
You compared a couple of minutes ago, Raphael, the ways that commercial enterprises look at risk and the way that federal agencies do it. What are some of the drivers that push commercial organizations to look at risk in different ways? And are they the same drivers that federal agencies deal with?
Well, you know, I think, again, there are more similarities than not. So you would think, and you'd be right to say that a lot of commercial enterprises, they look at sort of the shifts in the economic and the geopolitical landscape and what the impact is on their business. But, you know, we do that in federal agencies as well. We're very cognizant of where the economy is and what's happening in the geopolitical world and the impact it's going to have potentially on the direction of the federal government. The scarcity of resources. We haven't had a budget, an annual budget since, 2009, I believe. So there's great volatility and a scarcity of resources, which is exactly what commercial companies are looking at, whether it be companies that are in, let's say, in food They're looking at worldwide food prices. They're looking at things like the impact of water and shortages of water. These are the same kinds of things. They want a resilient supply chain. They're looking at shifting demographics. They're affected just like we are in the federal government about the 70 million boomers that are going to retire in 2030 and could leave as many as 35 million jobs unfulfilled by then. They're looking at a reduction in the global working age population that's going to significantly impact the demographics and the availability of talent and the aging and the health care. So I contend they're looking at the same things, and in the federal government, we should be looking exactly at these same issues to make determinations about how we should be thinking about risk.